glory and suffering, glory and suffering are two things that aren't seen to have much to do with one another, that they're polar opposites. And even for a Christian, they may see it only as being, well, you have a time of suffering for a while, but that's hopefully followed by a time of glory. That they're completely separate, but one might follow the other. But to understand more deeply that glory and suffering are intimately united, they're connected with one another. And that they're connected and united with one another in the person of Jesus himself. That he speaks of going to the cross as going to his glory, and the Father is glorified there. That this place of ultimate suffering is the place of glory as well. That the Eucharist itself is only understood as both the cross and the resurrection. And that we see the glory of God in that, both in the suffering and in the glory. The Transfiguration, which is the feast we celebrate today on August 6th, and that August 6th lands on a Sunday we celebrate on this Sunday, is Jesus revealing the divine glory shining through his humanity. And he does this not to just say something about himself or the Father, but he does this to speak and to say something to his disciples, that he reveals this glory, even for a moment, in all the clarity and the light and the glory shining through him, so that their hearts will be strengthened. Because when he goes, as he soon will, after he comes down from Mount Tabor, as he goes up the other mountain of the Mount of Calvary, carrying his cross into his passion and into his death, his disciples' faith, which will be shaken to the core, will not be shattered. His disciples, Peter, James, John, they've seen Jesus. They've seen him quiet the storm with his word. They've seen him heal a leper with his hands, to raise a dead girl with his word, reaching out his hand to her. They've come to believe that he's not just the Messiah, but in some way he's the Son of God. And they're going to watch him freely hand himself over and freely enter into this immense suffering. His hands nailed in his mouth, mostly in silence. And it's going to shake their faith to the core, which is what suffering does. But he reveals his glory to them in the Transfiguration so that their faith will not be destroyed, and also to show to them now the purpose of his suffering. What their suffering, what his suffering points to, and also what their suffering that they'll have to undergo, the purpose of that as well. That the glory of God shining through that in the resurrection, the glory of that peeking through it even now. Our modern age, when I say modern age, I don't just mean the last 30 years. I mean the last 300 some years. Just more acutely as it becomes more modern in our own time. Our modern age believes a lot of lies. One of the lies it believes is that a life without suffering is not only desirable but possible. Our modern age believes a lot of lies because it's largely abandoned the belief and the experience of truth. Today, the Feast of the Transfiguration, parenthetically, is also the 30th anniversary of the great encyclical of John Paul II, Veritatis Splendor. His encyclical he wrote, which speaks of the splendor of truth and how the splendor of the Christian truth and living that, even though it's entering into this life with Jesus, that what that does is it transfigures the Christian. It transforms them in the deepest way. But that's through truth. But when you abandon truth, you still believe things, you just believe lies. And so the modern lie that suffering and a life of suffering is one that can mostly, with our modern ways, be avoided or be eliminated altogether. Suffering as we experience it in this world is a product of the fall. And it's a disbelief mainly in the fall and in its effects. There was a poll last month that was released from Gallup, which you can take with a grain of salt, but it speaks a bit where people are at. And 1/3 of Americans, a solid 1/3, when they're polled, do not at all believe in the reality of hell, sin, Satan. They're just made up. And this disbelief in anything of the reality of the fall gives people this false belief and the false promise that the suffering that you can see in the world and which you cannot deny because it was simply just caused by us humans, that we can also somehow fix it too. Instead of it being something that only can be truly fixed by God himself, and that we can share in that. And so it's this belief that we can fix so much of the suffering in the world and in ourselves. And it's the lie that the good life that you should pursue is one that mostly looks like a life that's a life of comfort. It's a comfortable life. And so it's a lie which prompts in us, it spurs us to seek a life in which our children can grow up mostly free of suffering. That we can shield them from all suffering. That we can seek a marriage that's free of suffering. Parenting free of suffering. A job, a career that's free of suffering. Retirement without suffering. That seminary, the priesthood, is one that you can have and seek without suffering. That you can even enter into death now without suffering. It's the false promise of a life without suffering, of even faith without suffering. Our modern life, it can shield us from a lot of physical suffering. It can shield us from a lot of physical suffering. But what it can't shield us from, and it's almost as if the more it shields us from physical suffering, the thing that it can't shield us from becomes more, is the other reality that we are, is the suffering in the psyche, in the soul. And that's one that's rampant in our age. That the more we seek after a life that's just simply comfortable, the more the suffering and the reality of it takes root in the spiritual reality of who we are. That we're not just material beings. And it also makes it, when the life that we seek after and the false lie we believe is one of seeking after comfort, being free of suffering, it makes it impossible to truly understand Jesus' voice as he speaks to us, telling us that unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You can't escape a life of suffering. You cannot escape suffering in this life. But there are two ways of suffering. There is suffering with God, and there is suffering without God. And suffering without God, the end that leads to is life without God, and that's what hell is, and everything that follows from that. But a suffering with God is a life that begins to transfigure us, it transforms us, where the suffering and the glory of Jesus, that they become something which becomes intimately united within our whole being. There's only one of those two sufferings that involves glory. The Christian, us Christians, we do this crazy thing where we actually, in believing Jesus, we seek out a life of suffering in so many ways. We fast, we take on penance, that the command of charity is the command to enter into the life of suffering of another, to have compassion, to suffer with, which prompts us to the works of corporal mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. Believing that, no, we cannot take the suffering away from another person, but we can bring them something much more important, and that we can bring them the presence of Christ within us and alive within us, that we're able to freely enter into his sufferings, which is what Jesus came to do, to enter into our sufferings, so that we could enter into the glory that he reveals to us today in his transfiguration. That in suffering with him, we might become more closely united to him, and that his glory might be something we experience even in the midst of those sufferings, which he gives us a glimpse of in the transfiguration. You were not created for comfort. God didn't create you for comfort. That's not why you're here. That's not why you exist. But he did create you for glory. He created you for himself, which is a life in which that suffering and that glory come together, and the glory of Jesus Christ is one that can become alive within us. The Father spoke to Jesus at the Transfiguration. He spoke to us. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. No matter what you're going through, listen to him. Follow him. No matter what the suffering that you're in, follow him. Trust in him. That in entering into his suffering and your suffering, you might enter into his glory.